Good morning. This is the old Trailblazer broadcast coming to you once again from the Metropolitan Tabernacle, 501 Opelousas Avenue here in old New Orleans, Louisiana. Let me give you my mailing address. It's the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. You may be hearing the old Trailblazer for the first time. We're just an old-fashioned, old-timey gospel preacher bringing you an old-fashioned gospel message from God's Word. Yes, we use God's Word. We use the King James Version of God's Word. And we've thrown away all of these new interpretations and those things that cut down God's Word, cut down the deity of Christ. So we use the authorized King James Version of God's Word. We have it here in our bookstore, Radio Bible and Bookstore. And we have many, many good old Puritan books here. If you write me, I'll send you a catalog of the Radio Bible and Bookstore. But this morning, I want to give you this little information. The station we're on here in New Orleans, our flagship station, WLNO, now is on the Internet with all of the live broadcasts, and that address is www.wlno.com. So if you have the Internet capacity, you can pick our broadcast up. On Sundays, we're on live from 10 till 12 with the Bible School of the Air and then the Worship Hour. And the other times, if you have the Voice of Truth magazine, you can look there and get the schedule of all of our broadcasts. And if you would, sit down and write me and let me know that you're listening on the Internet. We're bringing you a series of studies on the preacher, looking at the preacher and his qualifications and all of those things that sets forth God's man. We were looking in our last study there in 1 Timothy 3:6 of what the preacher must not be. First of all, he shouldn't be a novice. We saw that. And we're looking this morning in the 7th verse, we find these words, 7th verse of 1 Timothy 3. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. From some angles, this is a strange statement. Nevertheless, it's true. The individual who enters the ministry of the Lord must have a good report from the man of the world. That's right. If folks outside the church looks upon the pastor and they don't see a godly man, they don't see how a man walks a straight and narrow way, controls himself, they know that there's no use going inside the church if the preacher acts like that outside the church. If all you see is your preacher on the golf course, drinking a beer or two now and then, smoking and cussing like the world, if some group of golfers sees that fellow, they know he's a preacher, what good would it be to do to go to his church? Listen, the man on the outside of a church, as a rule, is not critical. I find that to be so, the worldly man. He just faces facts. If he sees the minister's life is not up to standard, he doesn't have any confidence in him. It is the unsaved religious person who's critical, who is a deadly enemy to Christianity. It was the unsaved religionists who crucified our blessed Lord, who always have accused him of having a wicked spirit, casting out demons by Beelzebub. And listen, but the common people heard him gladly. Now, they heard the Lord gladly in spite of the unsaved religionists who accused the Lord of being gluttonous, a wine bibber, and all of those things. But listen now. So the gospel preacher, God's man, God's ambassador, must have a good report of the common man or the man of the world, the man on the outside of religious circles. Listen now. As I walk among many, many folks who don't even go to church, I must carry myself in a way that they can see the Lord lifted up in my life. If I drink with them, smoke with them, carouse around with them, they wouldn't have any confidence in me. But I'm not talking about being so straight-laced at everything. I put everybody under the law. Well, you must do this. No. You know what? God's grace takes care of those things. But I walk day by day, asking the Lord to lead me among my friends, my relatives, my neighbors. Listen now. Before them, my life must be blameless. Not perfect, just blameless. If not, there's a grave danger of my falling into reproach and the snare of the devil or any godly man. Now let's turn to the first chapter of Titus. Have your Bibles there? I hope you do. Leave them there by your nightstand where you can pick them up early these mornings as we come out. On many stations, we're on way early in the morning, 4:30, 5 o'clock, 6:30, whatever. But beginning there in the 6th verse of chapter 1 of Titus, we see the qualifications of a godly ministry. They are very similar to the ones in 1 Timothy chapter 3, but they add a few more qualifications. If you read Titus 1:8, and we'll notice, if we will, notice that a gospel minister must be first a lover of good men. This quality largely reveals the condition of the preacher's heart. When you find a pastor, preacher, or elder catering to the worldly elements of his church, if he's always trying to please men, that's right. That's right. You can tell the tenor of his life by those things. God's preacher, born-again preacher, commissioned and filled and empowered and led by the Holy Spirit, will always seek the fellowship and the company of other men of their own spirituality. He'll be a lover of good men. Good men here refers to born-again people, like our blessed Lord did. A worldly-minded pastor will slowly mold all the leadership of his church like unto himself, and men of questionable character will be put in leadership under his authority. That's right. Listen, we notice there in verse 8 that he must be a just man. A just man is one who's been justified. This speaks definitely of his salvation. The just shall live by faith. A just man is one who has come to see his totally depraved condition, has no righteousness, cannot justify himself. No, he can't go about justifying himself because of who he is or what he is or what he's accomplished and all of those things, what schools of learning he's gone to. No, God's called pastor is one who lay at the feet of Christ guilty, sinful, and for Christ's sake, the Lord justified him, counted him as a just individual, and imputed unto him a perfect righteousness. Now, we have a lot of folks who call that imputed nonsense, but it's not. That preacher knows that he's been saved by the grace of God and counted to be justified. Not only is he just, but he's holy. He's a God-man. The word holy means sanctified. The word sanctified here means to be set apart. You can't run with the world, smoke with the world, preacher. You can't do that. You can't go out on the town with the boys. No. God's man lives alone. Did you know that? I've often made the statement here that it's lonely. The life of God's man is lonely. It is, in a sense. It is in this sense that he can't cavort with the world. Folks call me and say, "We're going out to Colorado. Come go with us." I can't do that. I can't do that. No. It may be a completely legitimate type of trip. But I'm here. I'm God's man. I have a responsibility to my congregation to be here. I don't just drop my responsibility to drop of a hat and run off somewhere. Very, very little time. God's man has very little time to spend out from here. I know we need to get a day once in a while away from the phone, away from the pressure. But listen, not this 2 or 3 weeks at a time. Go off, appoint some novice to the pulpit. No, sir. No, sir. Listen, my friend, listen. He's a separated. He lives that separated life. And every gospel preacher ought to be, should be, noted as a holy man. Not because he wears a dark suit and a white collar turned around backwards. That's not, I'm not talking about that. No, sir. No, sir. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans, where they separate the laity from the congregation. No, we don't do that here. I walk among our folks just like they do. And he's not one who cares a more holier than... We're just getting down to basics, folks. Not a person who more holier than thou. I know folks who cow down to the preacher. They when the preacher comes to dinner, they get out all of the best silver and the best china and all of those things and put the children on the best behavior. I often think about Pastor Shelton, the founder of this work here, the old trailblazer. He used to come to my house. He made himself at home when he come in. We didn't do anything different for him except maybe fix a little something we knew he liked to eat. And he'd get up in the night and go to the refrigerator and get the jug of milk out and drink out of the jug. Well, he wasn't very sophisticated, was he? Didn't bother me. That was making himself at home. And folks accepted him just like that. Nobody puts on airs for a godly man. Now, I believe you respect God's man, surely. Surely you do. But I'm talking about being nervous and all that upset because a preacher is here. Well, no. Listen, folks. The preacher puts on his britches every morning just like every other man does. He's the only thing he's set apart is by God's word. He's sanctified through the word. Listen. He is the one the world takes note of as being with the Lord. That's the thing that we ask here for our folks, our people who tell me they're saved. I ask them to live their lives by grace that folks may see Christ raised up in them. We're the only witness that the Lord has. Many, many folks never read their Bible. They never hear a message. But if they meet you in the grocery store and you have a kind spirit and a kind attitude towards them and maybe make a little conversation with them and say what the Lord's done for you, it makes an impression on folks, my friend. I know. I've been there. Then again, the Scripture says that preacher, that pastor must be temperate. Means he must be self-controlled. Temperance is wrought in his heart by the grace of God. Now, I know that we live in the flesh, and I know that there's times that I get hot under the collar when I see things that's not right. I do. The Lord broke a lot of that stuff in me. And I've always said, a man who doesn't have a little temper, is not worth killing. No, you see these passive fellas? I know folks I shake hands with like a dead fish. That's right. Did you know I can tell the character of a man by how he shakes hands? I do. That's right. That's right. I told a young man that one day, used to work for me, and he had a handshake like a fish, like putting a dead salmon in your hand. And I called him off on the side, and I told him, I said, your handshake reflects your character. And then I about forgot about it, and I met him a few months later, and a rascal liked to squeeze my hand in too. He showed me that he never had forgot what I said. Now, he is a wonderful character and got a good high integrity and a good character. But I tell you one thing, he got a good handshake now. In many business establishments, the employees are trained to be courteous, kind, patient with those they're dealing with. This is only an imitation of the real heart control under grace. We should be that way, for just as soon as they're out from under that coercion, they revert back to their old nature. They have to be kind, or they get run off. But every individual out of Christ, whether in the pulpit or the pew or the world, wears three masks. Now, you listen to this in our closing moment. They wear three different masks. One, a home mask. One is a public life mask. And the other is a private life mask. That's right. One of them is a church mask. That's right. That's right. Every born-again believer walking in the will of God wears only one mask. It's always the same at home, in the public, in private, in the pulpit, in the pew. So the New Testament preacher's temperance is wrought in the heart by the grace of God. He wears one face, one mask all the time, my friend. Are you beginning to see how that God's man has to walk a straight and narrow way because of what the qualifications are? Oh, yeah. You don't go out there and pick up a man on the street and put him in the pulpit. No, sir. You don't do it. That's not right. Oh, and we're going to look in our next study. At holding fast the faithful word of the Lord as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayer. Now that's my calling here, to preach the gospel, not to tell funny stories. I hear preachers occasionally on the radio and they take about half the time telling little funny stories. Said they have to get their folks' attention. Well, my friend, if my message don't get your attention, I've ought to get out of the pulpit. If God's word being read and said in the congregation, to the congregation, if that doesn't get your attention, you ought to stay at home. If you're going to come here to sleep, if you come to the chapel to sleep or sit there by your radio and sleep, you ought to get back in the bed. Go back to bed and get your rest. But listen, folks. Every true man of God is bound by the word of God to be instant, in season and out of season, to be faithful under his calling. That's right. The unsaved Jews in Christ, they made much of the Word, but they hated the Lord. The unsaved religionists of our day made much of Christ and hate the Word. That's right. But listen, folks, let me just give you this invitation to tune in each day, Monday through Friday, to hear the old trailblazer. Call somebody across the back fence and tell them, listen to that old fool trailblazer. He's bringing some pretty good messages. I had a man call me the other day and said, listen, preacher, I play your messages in my store where folks can hear you. And they're listening. And he told me he might help me with the broadcast. Would you help me with a broadcast? Yes, these broadcasts cost a good bit of money, day by day. Would you send me a generous offering for one of the broadcasts? Tell me you want to help me support it. Get out the gospel to a lost and dying world. Are you saved? Are you know the Lord? Are you trusting the Lord? This is the old trailblazer, Pastor Albert Pendarvis. I remind you, our mailing address is Radio Missions, or just the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Goodbye, and God bless you.